Well,
what were you going to say for the pod, baby?
I don't know. I think I was just thinking about, like, things.
Oh, and junk?
And junk, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I just had some questions in my mind about Dune.
Ooh, good.
Because well, I don't what know I was going to say. The kind of questions you're going to like.
Is we. All right. Well, as long as they're about Dune. Because last time you, like, ADHD witched me into not talking about Dune for like 47 minutes.
You ADHD witch.
Mm hmm.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. Clearly. Okay. All right. So we will do the recap very soon here. Question the first about Dune for you.
Well, I mean, it's kind of associated with the recap, and I'm just going to do a quick pop a beer here.
Yeah, pop a beer. What are you drinking? You got the Hazy Little Thing IPA.
Yeah.
And I have the, boy, we are like...
Oh, yeah, Sierra Nevada, if you want to sponsor damn, this podcast. God damn, they should sponsor
us. We got this.
Yeah.
Sierra Nevada, the hoppiest beer you can buy at a cheap package store in Holyoke, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And so good on you for your market penetration into the less swanky stores, I guess.
Is what now I give us $1 million.
Yeah, now give us $1 million.
Yeah.
I like the pale ale of Sierra Nevada is about as hoppy as I like to get.
Yeah, well, and you know, I love the Hazy Little Thing, and you just realized it was a Sierra Nevada the other day.
Yeah, I always see the big circle.
And does it always says family owned, operated, and argued over, which yeah. makes me wonder, you know. Ugh,
do they have, like...
What kind of work environment is that?
Yeah, I'm imagining the Sierra Nevada family, they just get around to the table at Thanksgiving, and they're like, I think we should be making more... ales, and the other one's like, I think we should be making more lagers. And of course the person who says lagers is correct.
I'd kill to have those be the kind of arguments I get into at Thanksgiving.
I feel like, well, yeah, your family's more scotch drinkers at Thanksgiving.
No, it's not that. It's mm-hmm. just like...
As am I, when the Cowboys are losing.
It's just like, that sounds like, you know, some less triggering drama than the drama we sometimes get into.
Oh, yeah, let's get real into your family drama.
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that.
All right, so lay it on me, the recap, which we're going to come to... Your pertinent.
All right. Dune well, okay. So let me just. All right. I'll learn. Ask my question, which is just like, can you remind me? This is what I was trying to figure out. Like, can you remind me why I care that Liette died? Just in terms of the overall story arc, like, was there a reason? Did he have some info or some reason to need to stay alive?
Did he have some reason to stay alive?
To need to stay alive.
To need to stay alive.
In terms
alive.
Of the story arc.
I'll tell you what. I think this is... I think it's one of those near-miss Shakespearean type things where Liette and Paul,
mm-hmm.
they had just made an accord. They were mm-hmm. like, you, me, bro. You know, mm-hmm. Muscly white guy hand, muscly black guy hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we're going to take down the Harkonnens together, and we have all these plans, and then immediately he gets killed, and okay. he's captured and killed by the Harkonnens, so that's out. All of those plans yeah. that they made are not happening in the way they thought they could, you know?
Well, I was just thinking about other books I read where people die, and how I feel about it. So, like, you know, a fair number of people have died so far. Let's list them. Liette, mm-hmm. the Duke, mm-hmm. Duncan Idaho, is he dead?
Yeah, he died.
The shutout Mapes, the mm-hmm. blockhead guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who else has died?
Who else has died? I mean, a lot of Atreides, people. Oh, Peter DeVries, the evil yeah. Mentat, has died.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, I was like, why don't I really care that any of these people have died?
Well, I'll tell you what. They're not, it's not like when freaking, you know.
Dumbledore. Not that is, I'm saying no. whether he dies or not. But theoretically, if he were to die...
Guys, if you haven't read Harry Potter or seen the movies yet, blow it out your fucking ass. I can say, like, when I cried when Dumbledore died in listening to the books expertly read by Jim Dale. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a big fucking deal, of course. And I don't think these characters are meant to have... Listen, whenever Ron Weasley became prefect and he didn't understand that he had been made prefect, I had to pull my car over and like just sit in it, and like I had been more proud for him than I'd ever been proud of myself in my life. That's a different level of like emotional connection to characters.
So why is this book so good if you don't have that level of emotional connection to characters?
It's about the world building. It's about playing with the ideas. This is a science fiction. Ideas up here. Characterization. This has remarkably great characterization for mm-hmm. a science fiction novel,
mm-hmm.
but it's not. I mean, science fiction just don't work that way. I don't cry when people die in science fiction books. The closest I've come to that in like a hard science fiction, which is this is not hard sci-fi in that definite, depending on your definition. This has fantastical elements in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say what's his name? Songs of Ancient Earth by, I want to say, not Sagan. What the fuck is, the guy that did 2001. I'd say, you know, like,
I don't know,
close to, like, you know, just like, oh, this is just a nice book. This is just nice, mm-hmm. you know? That's not the game we're playing here. This is like, this is more of like a board game, you know, with pieces.
Oh, God. You like a really complicated board game that I like give up on after a while.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're getting it.
That explains so much.
Remember when I started, when you were like, oh, yeah, I'll play Dungeons and Dragons. Why not? And then I started to explain for like 5 seconds what that would involve. And you were like, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Yeah. Or like that time that like, you and my stepdad and my sister and I and my mom, like, somehow...
They tried to play Betrayal on House of the Hill, yeah, and your mom and...
My mom was out super quick.
Yeah, and then you were out.
And then I was, like, in about as much as I'm in on reading this book, which is, like, I'm doing this.
And then your sister was okay, and Mark and I were just, like, into it. Bam, 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 bam.
I feel like my sister liked it.
Yeah, I think she did. We played that.
Camille, like, in her taste in things is a lot more like Mark than I am.
Yeah, she's like her stepdad. She's her father's daughter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, like I said, this book is, I think, in a lot of fundamental ways, not for you.
Yeah.
But that's what's...
I guess we're just continuing to establish that.
Well,
We're really figuring that out.
If you don't know, now you know.
Yeah.
But obviously, that's the thing, right? And I will begrudgingly read something that I will typically not read. Like, you've given me books to read, and I've read some of them. You know, I've read them until I get the gist, and then I put them down because I there's nothing pulling me forward after I get it.
Yep.
And I think you're kind of there for mm-hmm. Dune. You're mm-hmm. like, I get it. I'm done.
For sure.
But you are good-naturedly forcing yourself to get through it chapter by chapter and pay attention to it to the extent that you have a take on it. You have takes on it.
Yeah. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. And if you didn't know that that's what we need out of you as an audience, as people, as a global audience,
mm-hmm.
now you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. So I'll tell you what happens in this chapter.
Great.
Recap. When we last left our heroes and sheroes, mm-hmm. Paul and Jessica, they had some Fremen standing over them, mm-hmm. and like, you know, it's like when you see people who are like stranded in the middle of the ocean or on a desert island or whatever, and then they like start picturing people and things as food, like hamburgers or whatever, mm-hmm. you know.
Uh-huh.
I feel like the Fremen were looking at Paul and Jessica like just these big sponges to wring out.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Like exactly. that was what they looked like to them.
Or it's like when your plane has gone down in Appalachia,
mm-hmm.
and you have been crawling through the pine barrens or whatever they have out there
mm-hmm.
for days, and you know. Finally, you come across an actual human being, and they just go, "Well, looky what we have here."
Is that from something?
I mean, it's from just the idea that city slickers get abused by hillbillies.
Oh, yeah, let's not go down that path. That's okay. An upsetting one. Okay, so...
Oh, I guess, well, it's from Deliverance, then.
Yeah, right, yeah. So... Yeah.
Which I have never watched all the way through because if anyone tells me that there's rape in a movie, I'm not going to watch it.
Dude, it's so bad. It's so... Ugh. Yeah, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know that there was such a graphic rape scene in that movie. And I wish mm-hmm. I had been told that.
Yeah, and I had been told, and so I was like, yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, so... So we find them again. They've got these Fremen standing over them mm-hmm. going like, "Hey there, hi there, we're going to get you water. You know, give us one good reason not to," or whatever. Basically, the Fremen are like interrogating them and mm-hmm. Paul and Jessica are not talking because they're Bene Gesserit witches and they want to make the Fremen talk as much as possible before they pipe up so that they can get a read on the situation from their tone of voice.
Right, because like Jessica, anytime you talk to her, she's like, you know, acquiring target
right.
for her Bene Gesserit witch voice.
Yeah.
You know, so she's trying to get like your whole, she can listen to you and the way you talk and your like accent and the, you know, if you say pin when you know, you should say pen, not that you should say pen when you mean pin.
And she's like, just got like a bunch of zeros and ones running through her
head. And she can like figure out what culture you come from,
yeah.
all this shit. And like,
yeah.
and then get that to lock in to manipulate you with that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
She hasn't quite got it yet. So she's just listening, right?
Yeah. So she's, yeah. And it reminds me of that thing in 30 Rock where, you know, Jack Donaghy is like, the worst thing you can do when you go into negotiation is talk first.
Mm-hmm.
And then he learns the brilliant tool of just sitting there peeling an orange and yeah. not saying anything from his maid
mm-hmm.
or his nanny.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, like, she's like, okay, I think I've got this guy figured out. And,
hey, all you Germans, if you haven't watched 30 Rock yet, check it out.
Yeah. I forget, like, what is the first thing she says exactly.
Well, luckily, I have a book right here. Boop, 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 boop.
Like, what do all her zeros and ones spit out?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, she didn't quite have a lock before he forced her to speak. He was like,
yeah.
Do you also speak? Come on, say something. What's
yeah.
going on? And she goes, "Who comes on us like criminals out of the night?" She's
yeah.
trying to be imperious at this guy.
Oh, yeah. She's trying to be, like, very regal and commanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so basically, like...
And it almost works. It's kind of like, it totally, like, he's
yeah.
like, woohoo! But he's got control.
So through some conversation, they figure out that Paul, of course, is the Lisan al-Ghaib or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Well, and also, they had instructions to find
right.
Paul and,
Paul's
like, help
this
him.
Guy they're supposed to look out for, that Liette told them to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, but he's a kid, and you know, it's like, well, you know, whatever, he's still the thing, the dude. And and then they're like, okay, so we got it, we're gonna take...
Well, but yeah, they know he's a kid, but then Paul, of course, speaks up in his precocious little self.
Right.
They're like, ooh, this is a child who speaks like a man.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, so then the Stilgar, he's Stilgar the Horrible, is
it turns
the
out
one
it's Stilgar,
who's
yeah.
talking. And he's the one, and he's like, okay, we'll protect you
mm-hmm.
because Liette told us to, but clearly mm-hmm. we have no use for this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And before he even says that, Jessica's like picking up on the fact that, like, from the way that they're talking, that she's as good as dead as far as they're concerned.
And the reason is because they have to move fast, and they already know that these guys are not, you know, Paul and Jessica, they're not desert people.
They're not cactuses. They're like they're like tropical flowers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, you gotta understand. They're like,
yeah. He's like, what do you want us to do? Yeah. Like, this is just the rules of the desert.
This
lady.
Is our way. Yeah.
Can't you understand? We just have to kill you. Why can't you just give us a break here?
And she's like, oop, I dropped a pen on the ground.
She just like, she basically like pretends to pass out. It seems like, and I think she kind of does. What it sounds like is she does that because it's what they're most expecting, mm-hmm. and it's like they're expecting it so much that they're not even gonna like know how to like respond to it.
Which I liked. I'm glad that you brought that up because I forgot that part. I was like, oh yeah, do exactly if you do what people expect you to do, then they're not going to expect anything else when you do something different. And I'm like, oh yeah,
yeah,
that's good, like art of the deal or something.
Not well, it also just reminds me of like when you're trying to have like a fun bantery conversation with someone,
mm-hmm.
and then they just like answer your question like exactly how you would expect anyone to answer that question, mm-hmm. you're just like, well, now I've got nothing.
That's
just
a good
like
point, yeah.
You know, just like shit,
unless your interlocutor is a typical dude, and then they're just gonna be like, yeah, okay, well, I'm just gonna keep talking even though you clearly have just told me that you already know what I'm saying.
It's not even like that. It's
or
like
my dad sometimes.
Right, sure, yeah. It's more like if I was like, oh, what, you love dinosaurs so much? And you were just like, yeah, I do. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm wearing cool. a shirt that has dinosaurs all over it.
Right, and it's like, well, this has been fun. I guess I'll go find somebody else to talk to, you know.
But that's not what you would really do if you were trying to talk to somebody and you saw that they liked dinosaurs. You'd be like, oh, what's your favorite dinosaur? Like, tell me more about that.
I don't know. Would I not? It's really disappointing to, like, try to be having, like, a fun, like, you know, bantery, like, flirty conversation with somebody and they just kill it. Like, it just makes me want to, like, get the fuck out of there. And I guess I'm using flirty not even necessarily in, like, a sexually or romantic sense.
But that's where all conversations go for you.
Right.
Eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. If they're any good.
Because you're hypersexual.
Yeah. That's why I'm always just, like, walking around humping everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that what hypersexual means?
I don't know. You said it.
I don't know. You know those... But there are people that are kind of, like, just... they say that Jeff Goldblum is like that. He's just always hitting on everyone and everything.
Ugh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's apparently the typical response because he's, like, so... He has such innate sexuality.
He has that BDE.
Yeah.
I have BV. Wait. Is that a...
BV.
BV.
You have no, but not the energy. Just the V. Just the big V.
No, I was thinking BV is bacterial vaginosis.
Oh, okay.
That's not something you want to have.
Like, I thought you were just saying I have big
like
vagina.
Being like, oh, I have bacterial vaginosis energy is basically like, I need to keep my legs closed and not go near anybody.
Cool. Well, I mean, if that's the way it is, but you should definitely get on antibiotics.
Listen, I don't have BV right now.
No.
And, anyway, so what are we talking about?
Stilgar.
So she passes out, or pretends to pass out, and he's like, he like goes to catch her, he's like, okay, this is my chance, I guess I'll go in for the kill. And she does like Bene Gesserit kicky boos,
mm-hmm.
and like basically gets him like at the mercy of her weapon.
Yeah, he's like slammed up against a rock,
mm-hmm.
and Paul takes that opportunity
to. I was confused by that because go back and read it. It sounds like she's against the rock, but somehow still he's at her mercy. It was very confusing.
Well,
that's
the thing, you know, like what are the ultimate fighting guys, the UFC. A lot of those guys prefer to be on their backs, like with the other guy over them, because that's like the position they've trained for more.
Hmm.
So like a lot of times they're like, oh yeah, you know, lay me down on the ground and, you know, and start trying to punch me and I'm going to get you from there. Anyways.
Yeah, those guys love to be on their backs with big sweaty guys on top of them.
I remember in the 90s, whenever like me and my friend rented a VHS of like Ultimate Fighting, and we thought it was going to be so badass, and it was just those guys rolling around on the ground a whole bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, I'm not sure we're into this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's apparently, you know, that's fighting.
Yeah.
And I will say that, like, you watch that stuff now, and it is insanely, like, graphic. It's too much.
I don't know. I never would have had any interest in it, or thought I might have any interest
in
it.
Well, we went to that party one time. We went to a UFC party one time, and we watched it.
Oh, that was UFC?
Yeah. Remember it at Charlie's house?
I did go to a boxing match party one time.
Boxing can be pretty rough too, yeah.
Where I got very like deep, way down in my thinks about like a racial, like interracial analysis of the fighters and anyway.
Sounds racist.
What?
Let's see what we got here.
You should take that back.
What?
You should take that back because like, do you really want people who listening to this podcast thinking that you think it's racist to notice racial interracial dynamics between people?
No, I see color, but I don't see patterns in cats.
Okay, fair enough.
So I take it back?
I just think you should.
Okay, I do. I don't quite understand, but I want to move on.
Okay.
It was a joke, you know? Or I was going for a joke, so I don't really have any connection to it.
Just saying.
Okay. And I'm not doing a just saying or a just joking thing. I'm just saying, like, I really didn't think about it. I just tossed it off. So I'm sure that there's a deeper analysis where you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, here we go. Yeah. Okay. Yes. So Jessica's motion started as a slumping, deceptive faint to the ground. It was the obvious thing for a weak outworlder to do, and the obvious slows an opponent's reactions. It takes an instant to interpret a known thing when that thing is exposed as something unknown. She shifted as she saw his right shoulder drop to bring a weapon within the folds of his robe to bear on her new position. A turn, a slash of her arm, a whirling of mingled robes, and she was against the rocks, with the man helpless in front of her. So she was against the rocks with the man helpless in front of her.
Doesn't that sound like she's up against the rocks?
And yeah.
He's on the opposite side of her?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think that there is an interpretation where it's like, yeah, it would say he's against the rocks, right?
I was like, that's weird.
Yeah. Well, so he's helpless. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but in any case.
And Paul, like, also goes and attacks somebody.
Well, he saw, like, what she was going for.
Yeah.
You know, he got the drift, and so he ran
off. He disappears into the shadows. He has to do a lot of, like, scrambling up rocks to disappear into the shadows, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Jessica, like, this guy is now, like, completely at Jessica's mercy. And she's just like, say you'll take me into your countenance, bitch. And he's like, I will. You know, like, I mean, it's obviously that's not the verbatim, you know, recounting. But
the other thing that's happening, which she knew was going to happen, like this is part of the reason she did this, was that she is kind of auditioning.
Right.
Right. She's like, I know that they need me.
Yeah.
And, like,
I'll be an asset to their team.
Yeah. So this is kind of like a, you know, show them what you got kind of thing, too.
Right, it's right.
Because like, these are the Fremen, right? The Fremen.
Yeah.
Fremen greater than Sardaukar. Turns out Bene Gesserit greater than Fremen. So it's in terms of, you know, rock, scissors, paper.
Yep.
But it's not rock, scissors, paper. It's a line.
What? Oh.
It's the transitive property.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, I always forget that about rock, paper, scissors. I've never heard anyone call it rock, scissor, paper.
Okay. I don't know. In Korea, they call it knife, scissor, paper.
Oh.
Hmm.
That seems more complicated.
It's the same game.
Wait, so knife crushes scissors?
Oh, I'm sorry. Knife, rock, paper?
Okay.
Yeah.
Then
it can be, it's often replaced with a knife instead.
So anyway, so then he's like, okay, fine, fine, fine. You can hang with us, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And...
but on the condition that teach them how to do that.
Yeah, they're like, we're going to do a knowledge exchange. You're going to teach me your badass moves. We'll teach you our badass moves.
Which he calls the weirding way. It's like, why didn't you say you knew the weirding way?
Yeah.
That's totally different.
Well, and Jessica, of course, her end of the deal is like, you know, you've got to, like, be cool to my son, too. Mm-hmm. Because there's still a, like, yeah, there's very, you know, the type of foreshadowing that gets resolved 2 pages later. Which, like, there's this thing where there's still, like, one of the Fremen is basically, like, lording over Paul, like, mm-hmm. still threatening to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And Sagar, what's his name? Stilgar, the Horribor.
Stilgar the Horribor.
Yeah, he, he's like, hey, Chani, like, back the fuck off. And, like, you know, Herbert's like, oh, a Fremen who's maybe a man or maybe a boy or maybe a girl. Hard to tell from the voice or whatever, sure. You know. And you're like, oh, it's definitely a girl. And, like,
do your guy voice. Be a guy.
Like, hey, man, maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. That could probably fool me. I don't know.
Well, as soon as that was said, I was like, oh, I'm 100% sure that this is the girl that Paul saw in his dream in the beginning of the book. Like, mm-hmm. it was just so obvious to me. So, anyway.
Well, that's just the law of, like, conservation of characters.
Sure.
You know, it's like they don't, it's like typically in a narrative, you don't introduce.
I'm just bringing characters. It back to do a little better at building some fucking intrigue, dude.
I mean, but I'm saying that's like, I don't know. That just happens when you've seen enough stories, read enough books. It's like, yeah, okay. That's not his fault.
I still get tricked sometimes.
Oh, when was the last time you were tricked in that way? It's like, what? Who's this person?
No, not like that, but just like...
Can I say that, what was that show we've been watching, Black Monday?
Mm-hmm.
I knew a million miles away, not to spoil Black Monday, but that it wasn't any of the main characters that died at the beginning.
That's totally spoiling Black Monday.
Okay, spoilers for Black Monday. I'll put it in the thing. I said spoiler alert before I said the thing.
Broke the rule.
I said spoiler alert before.
The rule isn't say spoiler alert if you're going to spoil something. The rule is no spoilers.
That's your rule. That's not my rule.
Yeah, well, in this house, we go by my rules.
But is the rule no spoilers to you, or is it no spoilers ever anywhere?
No spoilers ever to anyone. Spoilers suck. Spoilers are the worst.
All right, I broke the damn spoiler rule. As my parents would say, whip me, beat me, don't let me go to the mall. Ugh,
that's weird. That's a really weird thing to say.
I felt bad saying it.
Yeah. I feel really weird about it. So, well, I mean, this is the thing. This is the thing, Sean, that is like really, you know, so... Our friend who listens to this podcast said something to Sean basically being like, Caitlin just wants this book to be like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I kind of want everything to be like an M. Night Shyamalan movie. So sue me, you know? But the thing is, like, I love twists because I actively do not try to figure them out.
One of our first fights was that...
about M. Night Shyamalan. And I loved... and this is the thing. It's like, if I love twists so much that I'm actively trying not to figure them out, and everything that is even maybe remotely akin to a twist in this book is so abundantly obvious to me, that's what's frustrating about it.
Okay.
I'm like, listen, I'm a girl you can trick. I'm out here ready to be tricked. I don't even want to guess at what's going to happen. Okay. I'm here, like, not trying to figure it out whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're still like, oh, guess what? I'll just throw so many hints at you. You're going to... And I'm like, no, just put your hints away.
For the listener, she is windmill slapping at the air right now, pushing away those hints. Just slapping them away.
No, I don't want hints. I want to be shocked that... fuck out of my pants.
Well, anyway. So this is another difference for us. Probably another reason that I enjoy this more than you do is because I'm the other way. I'm actively trying to figure it out all the time.
Yeah.
When I'm watching a mystery.
But then aren't you frustrated by how easy everything is to figure out?
Well,
this book?
But I already knew what was happening. I had seen the movie before I read the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew a lot of what was happening and mm-hmm. going to happen before I read the book. Even though the movie is very different and inferior to the book.
I will sometimes watch a movie or read a book that has...
Sorry, David Lynch. I love you, but I know that you don't like that movie you made either. So, and I like
I will sometimes watch a movie or read a book that... like, I already know what's going to happen, mm-hmm. and I still will somehow, like, suspend my disbelief and think maybe there will be a new surprise
mm-hmm.
around the corner if I just
mm-hmm.
hey, wait right. for it.
So, you know, let's not beat a horse that is rapidly, you know, going into cardiac arrest here, because the listeners know that you don't like this kind of book.
Okay.
But we're articulating why.
Fine.
let's move on to another reason why you don't like it that comes further along in the recap, perhaps.
Fine. So, wait, there's another reason. Well, it's a very action-y recap. Is that what you're referring to? Very like, oh, and then there was this and the person flipped around and did a whoop whoop and there was a fire and that person got killed and a kiki-boo over here.
The defense stipulates that there's a lot of action. I'm not asking you to say what happens, especially, you know, like Paul crawls up a crevasse and Chani's got the drop on him underneath. And yes, it is does
this
turn
is
out
the thing. If you want me to stop talking about why I don't like this book, you have to stop acting as the defense. Because it just encourages me to argue my side of
that's
it.
That's a good point. I shouldn't be defending. You're right. No, I knew it was Chani. Everybody that reads the freaking book knew that when this person showed up, because it's formulaic.
But
it's
like,
the law of, it's the law
is,
of how
like,
stories
are
always written.
I didn't know that Chani Liette's... I think we maybe already
knew... You didn't
know
that she was Liette's daughter.
No, I think we might have already known she was Liette's daughter, but mm-hmm. I didn't know that she was the dream girl.
Mm-hmm.
But then just something about the way that it was like, oh, maybe it was a boy or maybe it was a girl. I was like, that's significant. And the only like significant like girl that would appear at this point is the dream girl.
At this point, I'm reminded of the Princess Irulan opening.
Okay.
And because I feel
I don't
like,
remember it.
Okay. But it's always pertinent to what happens in the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes most of the time that goes over my head, which is one of the reasons I like discussing this with you, because it just clicked into place, you know, why this was important to this chapter,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
So here's what she says. This is from the Private Reflections on Muad'Dib by the Princess Irulan. Prophecy and prescience. How can they be put to the test in the face of the unanswered question? Consider, how much is actual prediction of the quote-unquote waveform, as Muad'Dib referred to his vision image, and how much is the prophet shaping the future to fit his prophecy? What of the harmonics inherent in the act of prophecy? Does the prophet see the future, or does he see a line of weakness, a fault or cleavage that he may shatter with words or decisions as a diamond cutter shatters his gem with the blow of a knife? So this is kind of how I interpret that is she's saying, you know, how much of this is a self-fulfilling prophecy? How much of this what he really is seeing is opportunities and weaknesses and what, you know, like he could have, at this point, he saw Chani in his dreams a million years ago, but you know, he could have chosen to, he was like, you know, he's like, that's the girl from my dreams. He could have chosen to like, be like, okay, yep, hi Chani, how's it going? All right, bye, see you later. I'm gonna go talk to this other person over here and just like ignored her ass, you know?
Wait, IRL or it is street?
What's that? IRL.
Oh, I mean, and then of course there's,
you know, there's a choice in here.
I can
that.
Tell
he could have turned
fall
away
in
from
love.
That, you know?
Obviously they're gonna fall in love.
Well, she's also, you know, she's sassy, she's a physical match for him.
Uh-huh.
She's probably an intellectual match for him, so
just
yeah.
like me for you. I was like, you're definitely gonna fall in love with me.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. I can tell.
Because you're super sassy, you're a physical match, like you've caught me. Well, I mean, when we met, I was crawling up that crevasse and you were like, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing in that crevasse? Get out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much right.
I saw her in my dreams. She had bigger boobies in my dreams. I don't know.
She does have that BVE, though.
Yeah, I can smell it from here. I hope she gets on some antibiotics. And then we can talk. Maybe third date will be cleared up.
Oh, God. Okay, so, I don't know. Does anything else really happen? Basically, like...
Well, so he meets Chani, and Chani's like, you know, what's happening?
Chani's like, you're such a stupid little boy. And yeah. He's like, clearly he's gonna love that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know...
Well, it's the classic, like,
love to be
I am not
down.
Used to being talked to in exactly. that manner. I am the son of a duke.
Oh, you know, and she's, like, well, she's, like, a cool girl. You can, like, talk to
oh,
her
yeah.
about, like, battle
You can
and
have,
shit.
Like, conversation
yeah.
about knife fighting with
yeah.
Chani.
Yeah, Chani's, like, one of the girls who, like, you know, is basically just, like, one of the guys.
She's like one of the, she knows about sports.
Yeah.
You know, she knows about gladiator fighting. She can,
yeah.
like, speak Chicopsa.
Yeah. Cool. When we have sex, it's kind of weird. I, like, sort of picture one of my, like, dude friends, but I think that's, like, normal.
Yeah, that's probably normal.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes
yeah.
I really want her to, like, you know, peg me, and,
yeah.
like, she does it, and that's, like, that feels ripe somehow.
Yeah, yeah, because she just has that BDE, you
yeah.
know?
not trying to shame anybody that likes pegging. Go for it.
Or women with dicks.
Yeah.
Or gay sex.
Or any of that. Go for it.
Mostly, this is just a running commentary we have on, like, the cool girl who's
yes,
one of the
is
guys.
Yes, the cool girl thing, yeah.
Which we both kind of think is bullshit.
Yeah, because I don't like
And I'm
girls.
Not sure we can really articulate it.
I don't like
I don't know. I feel
cool
like
girls,
I
which is why I didn't choose, which is why I didn't choose one. You're not cool.
Wait, what am I?
You're like a dainty, you know, girl who... only likes, you know, like ballet and unicorns, and we cannot have a conversation about anything because you only want to talk about dress patterns.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
That
and
sounds
I can't
like
relate.
Yeah.
I totally don't like talking
yeah.
about dress patterns.
You're just like, whatever, babe, slob on my knob, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, right. I don't know where we're. I don't know. We're,
well, I don't know.
I've
yeah,
lost
I've,
the thread.
I've really lost.
We're
the thread.
Like 3 beers in here.
I also, like, just realized I don't really know why we're always, like, talking about that cool girl trope.
I think the idea is that is there's a kind of, it's a form of misogyny that
mm-hmm.
is, the idea that,
yeah,
that
right,
most
right.
women are not intelligent enough to have a conversation
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're at the misogynist definition of having a conversation...
Or the things they care about are just so fucking
is talking
stupid.
Is talking about
yeah.
the narrow amount of things that he likes
yeah,
to talk
yeah,
about, which
yeah.
tends to be, you know, like, misogynist jokes and sports.
Yeah. Thank you for articulating that really well, because...
Mm. Are you being sarcastic?
No. Okay. I'm not at all being sarcastic. Like, I just think, like... We're always talking about that,
yeah.
and I've never really been able to, like, I don't know, I've just never gotten to the point of, like, boiling it down in that way, which I think is really accurate.
Well, and it's, like, I think it rubs you the wrong way. I mean, it rubs both of us the wrong way for the same reason, but, like, part of it, to me, you know, it's, which is something I talk about, is, like, I like talking about sewing, and
mm-hmm.
and I'm interested in dress patterns
mm-hmm.
And crafts
right.
And typically, you know, female type things, you know, just as much. And I like to have conversations about those things. And so, you know, if it's not me and it's not me just trying to, like, you know, get in good with a girl to, like, talk about her interests. Like,
yeah.
I'm interested in that stuff, too. And it relates to everything, you know, like all of these. There's a lot of artificial distinctions between, you know, different types of engineering and crafting and like creative type projects. Like knitting is the same
mm.
thing as you know,
DNA splicing.
Well in some ways, you know, in some ways that's probably true. I was going to say like fishnet making.
Yeah,
you know,
sure,
whereas
right.
one is a male pursuit traditionally, one's a
yeah.
female pursuit traditionally, artificially.
Right. Well, and I think that really embedded in the whole conversation is just the value assigned to society overall by typically masculine things typically feminine things, right? So, like, men are like, oh, no, I can't, like, stoop to the level of talking about that girly shit. Like, women have to, like, come up to my level.
And I resent the idea that I'm not allowed to talk or be interested in that quote-unquote girly shit.
Right. As you should.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
Patriarchy hurts everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying.
Yep.
Okay, figured that out.
I don't know. Did I miss anything important that happens in this chapter?
Well, so...
They shuffle off to Buffalo.
They shuffle... Yeah,
they go back to the siege.
They're not quite yet. They gotta... They're not gonna get to Setch Tabor tonight. They're going to get to some other place.
And Chani's like, God, don't brush your robes on the bush. You're going to leave your threads behind.
Right. So they're starting to learn through doing, like, how to actually have the desert power that Duke Leto always talked about. And part of it is, like, let's move. You know, Jessica's noticing, shit, this whole society, the men, the women, the children, they're all like soldiers. They maintain a military order and a military discipline, and they know all of this shit about how to move without being seen. You know, they assign people behind them to like cover their tracks.
They're like those elephants from the Jungle Book.
They're the opposite of the elephants from the Jungle Book, because the elephants from the Jungle Book crash down everything in their path. Right.
But they do
up 2-3-4, keep it up 2-3-4, side by side, single file, it's a military role type thing.
Do you remember how that song starts?
Yeah. Hup 2-3-4, keep it up 2-3-4. Oh, the aim of our patrol is a question rather droll. For to march and drill over field and hill is our military goal.
Okay. I just have never in my life known what the very first phrase is. The aim of our patrol.
Mm. No, I watched Jungle Book was one of my VHS.
Yeah. I was just always like, what are they saying? We're the M of our patrol? Mm. What is that?
I believe, and I didn't have, you know, this is pre-DVD
subtitles. Yeah.
But I always heard of it as, oh, the aim of our patrol is a that question makes rather
totally,
troll.
That makes total sense. Because they're like, what, like, we don't need to have an aim. We're just doing a military
It's kind of like, that's
goal.
We do it because this is what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing in itself is the goal of the thing.
That's very tautological, which, as we've discussed on this podcast before, is very Durkheimian.
Mm, sure. I know the first one. I don't know the second one, but I also don't care, so don't lecture me.
I want a cool guy who can talk about sociology.
Well, you got the wrong one. I'm nuts and bolts. Look at me. I'm a simple engineer guy.
We complement each other so well.
Yeah.
And we're very, we have a lot of diversity in our genes. Your genes are really different from my genes.
Yeah, you've been talking about that a lot.
Well, no, it's just because there's... Okay, we watched this documentary, and I'm not going to recommend this documentary. I'm not going to say, like, I'm so happy I watched this. The one about
marriage. Oh, it was the marriage one, yeah.
Yeah, what was it? It was, like, the truth about marriage.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reason we watched it is because we both like the podcast Oh No, Ross and Carrie. And Ross was interviewing this guy on the podcast, which we were listening to on our way home from.
And he's the documentary director that made Trekkies, which I had already seen.
So, but like we were listening to it in the car, basically, and then it got cut off like in the middle of the interview. Mm-hmm. We got home, we had to go inside. And we were tired and we wanted to watch TV anyway. And I was curious about what that guy had to say. So I was like, let's just watch a documentary.
Totally.
I would not say it's like a particularly well-made or structured documentary. Mm-hmm. But...
It was all right. We were both playing cell phone games while we watched it.
But there was some interesting stuff. I mean, he interviews people with a lot of different perspectives on marriage. But one of them was like... You know, monogamy is one thing, and like what we're really trying to do as a species in terms of finding a partner is find somebody with really different genes from ours, because we want to make sure that our offspring are going to, like, be immune to many different diseases and blah, blah, blah. So,
which relates to Dune.
Because there's all this, like, race.
There's mixing. Talk of the wild, the yeah. sort of wild urge for the race to, and I think by this time we can tell that they're talking about the human race. They're not talking about, in my opinion.
But they're talking about these different...
In my hard opinion, when they say the race to renew itself, they're talking about the human race. And so the drive for the race to renew itself by doing a big old mix-em-up and like, everybody fuck everybody else.
I have a question.
Like that's what they're talking about.
They're trying to develop resilient genes.
Yeah, the resilient genes, eugenics, which is like people...
But
no.
It's an intentional plan, so it is eugenics.
Hold up. Stop. Pause. We're talking about two different things. The eugenics is the Bene Gesserit plan to create the Kwisatz Haderach. And the fighting against that is the wild urge that Paul talks about for that the other people talk about that are not Bene Gesserit for a disordered mixing to occur.
Okay.
Okay? And that has a lot to do with, yeah, I want to fuck somebody that's genetically different from me. I'm attracted to the quote-unquote exotic because the exotic in my mind is not me and not mm-hmm. my genes. Mm-hmm. It's other genes, different genes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's people who have immunities that I don't have. So our kids will have my immunities and her immunities and that whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think in a way... Paul is going to be Paul, and what Paul does and who he is an expression of the genetic of the in the book of the race's urge to have a wild mixing and renewal.
So some wild oats, as they say.
Exactly, which is the opposite of what the Bene Gesserit are doing, which is like let's take all of these, you know, flips and flaps from all of these ingredients and let's put them all together.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I feel like I was going to say something else.
I'm sorry.
I
steamrolled you.
No, it's okay. I don't know. It's whatever.
But yeah, I want to put those two things together because I think it's important to talk about those two ideas distinct of what, like, yes, the Bene Gesserit are practicing, I think what they call positive eugenics is distinct from negative eugenics, which the worst eugenics is what was practiced.
It's genocide.
Yes, sure. Yes, the worst eugenics is definitely generalized, but the second worst eugenics is what was practiced here in America, which was the sterilization of quote-unquote undesirable people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like, the kind of eugenics they're doing is like selective breeding. It's like you...
Well, and what you said
you
just
have
implied
a child
that
genocide
person. Has never happened in America, which is not true. Genocide has happened in America.
I agree.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to imply that. So we've got two of the worst kinds of eugenics here in America.
Yeah, we've got all kinds of bad shit here
yeah.
in America.
So, but I'm saying the Bene Gesserit are not doing, or they're not sterilizing people. They're doing selective breeding.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is different, but still eugenics.
Yeah. What about when you do it to tomatoes?
That's also selective breeding.
Is it eugenics?
No, because it's not with people. I think one of the things for eugenics has something to do with people. One of those Greek words means people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like
yeah.
people breeding or people whatever. I don't know.
People doing.
When they say eugenics, it's like eugenics
plus me-genics.
No, because people
us genics?
The eugenicists never want to do it to me. They want to do it to you. That's why they call it eugenics.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm smart. And that's why you want to breed with me.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
We are not currently actively breeding.
I have one other guy.
I mean, we're not producing progeny is what I mean.
That's true.
Yes. You have one other guy?
I have one other guy I want to mention, and that is Jameis, the dickhole who was like, let's kill him right now and squeeze the water out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it still goes like, slow your roll,
mm-hmm.
Jameis. And then he's also the guy that Paul gets the better of. Like, when Paul does his, like, you know, his dash into the shadows, he rolls Jameis, you know, he, like, comes up on, like, takes his knife and then bops him on the head and
mm-hmm.
picks up the
turns him
knife.
Into sushi.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't kill him, but he just, like, he disables him and then goes up the thing. And then Jameis, like, he got the surprise of me and me. And everybody's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy who's like, I like a girl.
Not to foreshadow too much, but he's an important character for later.
Okay.
So that's all I gotta say about that. And that's, you know, like any final thoughts?
Well, let me just tell you what I think about the sundaes at Friendly's.
Okay.
I don't really have any feelings about them.
Okay.
And that's my final thought.
Okay. For the listener, Friendly's is a northeastern chain of family-style casual restaurants that are freaking infuriating to go to because the service is so slow at every Friendly's I've ever been to. It takes 40 minutes or more to get your
And you literally
food.
Watch like 20 people standing around doing nothing yeah. while you're waiting.
And for some reason, the Friendly's all now have these like iPads that they want you to order from. But what happens is you start playing with the iPad, and then the waiter comes and says, "Would you like something, or do you want to order off the iPad?" And I'm like, "No, I don't want to order off the fucking iPad. I want to order from a person, like a normal human being would at any restaurant.
Right.
If you're having pretensions to being a sit down restaurant, let's either do that or not do that." Friendly's.
Do you feel the same way about airports that have those order
yes!
off the iPad?
Yes, I hate the order off the iPads at the airports. That's bullshit. I'm trying to relax before my flight. And I'm trying, and if I'm even sitting in this place, I'm probably on an expense account, so I don't give a shit how much things cost.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to use up my per diem because I never can. And so bring me booze, and I don't want to deal with your fucking iPad. I don't want to play with that thing.
I feel really good about the fact that I created some space for you to have some final thoughts.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, you mentioned several pet peeves. Did you strategically mention pet peeves?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, the natural stand-up comedian in me is going to want to analyze pet peeves. So
yeah.
I appreciate that
yeah.
you see that.
It's a real no-but. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real no-but.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Love you. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Oh, I got a cramp.
It's still going.
It's still going.
I got a toe cramp.
Oh, there it is.